Chapter 2. After breakfast, I got dressed in time to be almost late for school as usual, said goodbye to my mother, wiped the lipstick mouth off my forehead, and strolled down the path. "Mind the road," she said from the step. "Mother," I said, walking backwards, "this is the Brook Farm Estate. The only things on wheels round here are either parked or retired." "Still, mind it, someone gets run over every 3 minutes in this country." "You must get pretty sick of it," I said, and crossed the road to Pete and Angie's. Pete and Angie are my oldest buds. We've known one another since before we were born. They're not related to one another, but they live in the same house these days, along with his dad and her mum. We call ourselves the Three Musketeers, the kids, not the parents. And we have this musketeery slogan: "One for all and all for lunch," which we cry whenever we leap into action, which is a bit too often for my liking. They came out seconds before I got to the door. We have this almost late business down to a fine art. And of course, true to form, the first thing Pete said was, "I like the nose. Did you pick it yourself?" I ignored him. Best thing to do with Pete most of the time. But Angie was looking too. You don't ignore Angie Mint. Not if you want to live. "Okay," I said, "get it out of your system."
"Get what out of my system?"
"The stupid remark about my conk." She looked offended.
"I'm offended," she said.
"You are?" I said. "Oh, sorry."
"I should think so too. I would never be so unkind as to make fun of a face that's been taken over by a giant plum tomato that probably glows in the dark."
"Thanks, Ange."
We set off for school.
"Oi, wait for me."
We groaned. Egypt Atkins. Ralph to his mum, the teachers and social workers. Egypt to his dad and everyone else.
"We'll never get this right," Angie muttered. What she meant was that ever since Egypt moved in next door to me, we've been trying to get to school without him on our heels, and we usually don't make it. It's like he waits for us behind the Atkins family wheelie bin and shoots out the moment we appear.
"Watch a squirt," said Pete.
Egypt gave him a kick in the shins and swerved so Pete couldn't get him back, then fell into step beside me. Since he became my neighbour, he's been treating me like some long-lost relative. I don't encourage him. He chattered like a chipmunk halfway to school while Pete, Angie and I talked among ourselves. But then he caught sight of a couple of his Neanderthal pals loping along the opposite pavement and zigzagged across the road to join them. Reaching school, we jostled our way merrily through the gates. The school gates are about as wide as four kids standing shoulder to shoulder, and at the start and end of every day, at least 16 people always want to get in or out at the same time. We broke through without too many personal injuries, just in time for the bell, and headed for registration. Friday mornings aren't too bad at Ranting Lane School, but the afternoons are a real snooze fest. This is because the last two lessons of the week are RE with Mr. Pryor and Maths with Mr. Dakin. We used to have history after lunch on Fridays, but they moved it so all the RE lessons could be at the end of the week and Pryor wouldn't have to come in so often. Old Pryory isn't a strong man. Kids make him twitch. He'd been off all week having a nervous breakdown at his mother's, which meant that other teachers had been standing in for him. And who did we get that Friday? Dakin. Now, Faceache Dakin is nobody's favourite. Besides being our miserable maths teacher, he's our miserable form tutor, which means that we see more of him than just about any other life form on Earth. We do not burst into song every time we think of this. Even his son, Milo, doesn't like him much. Milo's in our class, and while his old man is Mr. Grimm, Mr. Strict, Milo is one of the nicest kids there. Now that he was in charge of both last lessons, Dakin Sr. decided to change the order. Maths first, RE last. If he thought this would end our week on a high note, he was even more off his twig than usual. When the time came to switch to RE, Dakin called three of us out and pointed to a small brown suitcase he'd brought in with him.
"Skinner. Wapshot. Aziz.
open that, divide up what you find inside, place a copy on every desk.
We all threw our necks up on poles to see what was in the case, and took them off the poles when we saw.
Books. Old books with black covers. Skinner, Wapshot and Aziz scooped them up and started strolling around, dropping them on desks.
Do not drop them, Dakin yelled. They are not litter.
They carried on dropping them, but more quietly. And as each book landed, the person it was dropped in front of looked at the title and groaned.
Yes, class, Dakin said. Bibles. King James Bibles.
Won't he miss them, sir? I said.
The Bibles you are used to, he went on, are modern, mass-market translations. The language in them is dull, flat, uninspiring. These, on the other hand...
He stroked the cover of the one on his desk.
You were about to have an experience denied most of today's children. You are going to hear the words of the Bible as they should be heard. Speak them as they should be spake.
I tipped my chair back and spake over my shoulder to Milo. What's the old crackpot up to, Milo? Why the ancient noddy books?
He's been longing for a chance to show these off, Milo said. They used to be in my balmy Aunt Trixie's religious bookshop. Been under the bed in our spare room ever since it was turned into a Chinese takeaway.
Why was your spare room turned into a Chinese takeaway?
You two, stop talking!
Dakin bawled. I faced front.
So rich is the language in this Bible, he said more quietly, that I haven't even chosen a section for us to look at.
Can we go home now, then? Brian Ryan asked.
I haven't chosen a particular section because I know that I can open it at any point, anywhere at all, and find something uplifting, something poetic, something
boring, said Ryan.
Detention, Ryan, said Dakin.
Wicked, said Ryan, grinning round like a hero.
I shall demonstrate.
Faceache flipped open the Bible on his desk.
Here we are, a completely random selection, second book of Kings. Turn to page 425, everyone.
Lots of rustling paper.
Turn to it with care, these pages are delicate.
Lots more rustling, lots more. With any luck, we could stretch it out to the end of the lesson.
Have you all got it?
Dakin said wearily after 10 minutes rustling.
What page, sir?
Atkins asked.
425.
25? Said Hislop.
Yes, said Dakin.
425? Said Pete, who sits next to me.
Yes, said Dakin. What is the matter with you people?
Well, since you ask, I think I've got a cold coming, someone said.
Me too,
said someone else. My nose keeps running.
Why don't you put it in a race then?
Another Dumbo chipped in.
McHugh's got a jammy donut on the end of his nose, said Ryan.
Enough!
Dakin screamed.
Now, if you've all managed to find the page, I want each of you to stand up and read a verse in turn.
A class-wide groan.
Oh, not reading aloud.
Yes, reading aloud. Starting at the front here with you, Julia.
Me?
Gasped orange-haired, orange-freckled Julia Frame.
Can't someone else go first?
Someone else can go second,
Faceache said firmly.
Chapter 9, verse 1. Arise and begin.
Julia clunked to her feet. She was about to start reading when her phone rang. Dakin's shoulders went up. His eyes shrank to pinheads.
Whose is that?
6 boys stood up at once, not to admit the phone was theirs, but to point dramatically at Pete, who was fumbling in his pocket trying to turn the thing off. There'd been so many punishments for bringing mobiles into school that hardly anyone did anymore. But Pete loves his phone. He doesn't get many calls, but he still loves it.
Garrett, how many times do you have to be told? Bring that thing here.
Pete got up, took the mobile out of his pocket. It was still ringing.
And silence it.
Pete punched a button. The ringing stopped. He put the phone to his ear and headed for the front. Yeah? Who? No, wrong number. Get lost. He clicked off. Dakin snatched the phone and chucked it in a drawer.
Detention, Garrett.
Pete sauntered back to his seat.
Now, Julia, chapter 9, verse 1, and read clearly, please.
Julia looked at the Bible, started to mumble.
I said clearly, Dakin said.
This is clearly, said Julia.
Not to my ears, it isn't.
You can get them syringed at the med centre, sir, I said. Doesn't hurt, just blows your brains out.
McHugh should know, sir, Pete said. He's had it done twice.
Start again, Dakin said to Julia. And let us hear you this time.
Julia started again. We couldn't hear a word, but no one complained. Not even faceache until she started the next verse.
Just verse 1, Julia. Angela?
Angie stood up. She sits next to Julia. Pete and I grinned at one another. No chance of missing verse 2 with old Ange reading. Her mouth's got a built-in megaphone.
And when thou comest thither, she bawled, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from...
What sort of language did he say this was? Someone muttered. Soon, though, it had become a pretty smooth operation. When someone finished reading their verse and sat down, the next person crashed to his or her feet and read theirs, while the rest of us tried to keep the snores down. Dakin was standing at the window with his hands behind his back by this time. If I did that in class, he'd ask my parents to come and see him. Neil Downey got up to read his verse. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head.
Stupid thing to do, Ryan said.
He had nothing to lose now. I looked at the next verse but one, which would be mine. I looked again and gulped. Why me, I thought. Why me? Downey sat down. Pete got up to do his bit. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the Muppets.
I think you'll find that is prophets, Mr. Garrett.
Oh, yeah. And the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of, Jezebel? He sat down. Silence fell. I hunched low in my chair, hoping Dakin wouldn't notice me.
Up, McHugh, up. Keep it flowing, keep it flowing.
A giggle from across the room. Someone had noticed my verse. Then someone else noticed. Then a low ripple started as more and more people checked it out. Then Pete saw it.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is going to be priceless.
Can someone else do mine, sir? I said. Bit of a sore throat today.
No excuses. On your feet, boy. Read.
I got up, cleared my throat.
For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, I read. And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up.
Pete slid under his desk. The rest of the class exploded. And guess who got detention for causing it?